podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today, we're going to be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. I'm joined by one of my colleagues, Reverend Brian Heller, who's served as a chaplain in a couple of different contexts. He's going to tell us a little bit more about how he serves people in God's mission. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
Chaplain Heller, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about yourself, where you've served.
Sure, yeah. So again, my name is Pastor Brian Heller. Currently serve as the manager of specialized spiritual care ministry. We're going to get into more about what that means throughout this episode. I previously served as a chaplain with Lutheran Senior Services in St. Louis. Before that, served as a parish pastor in a really small town in northern Illinois called Walnut. Absolutely delight serving there. And I've also served in chaplaincy roles in at a trauma hospital as well. And so just kind of a mix of experiences and things like that in ministry, which has been super exciting and super fruitful.
Yeah. What about some of the personal details of your life?
I
know your wife's a deaconess. She had the good taste to marry a deaconess. So
yes. So my wife is a deaconess. We met during our studies at Fort Wayne, so at Concordia Theological Seminary, when I was studying to be a pastor. She was studying to be a deaconess. So, you know, one of those couples that formed from those classes. We have been blessed with four children. So we have Isaac, who's 8, Carly, who's 6, Anna, who's 3, and then a little one on the way. So we're excited about that.
That's so great. Well, let's start first with the basics about what is God's mission. It's obviously in the title of our podcast, but I think it's important for us to describe, you know, where is God's mission, who gets to be involved, and, you know, you're a pastor. How do you describe to people what God's mission is?
Right. So God's mission, I mean, really is, you know, wrapped up in Matthew 28 when Jesus goes and, you know, commands the disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that he has commanded. And so it's spreading the good news of the gospel, word and sacrament ministry that our Lord has given us to do, has given the church to do, and share the love of Christ to all those in need, especially those here in the United States, as we're seeing a more secularized country. So there's just more of a need, maybe than in the past, for this proclamation of the gospel to be preached rightly, purely, to everyone. Of course, to the folks that come on Sunday morning to church, to our members, but also to those who may not have darken the churches of the doors, who may have not heard about the gospel, and who may find themselves in different settings. And so that's why it's so important that the work that we do extends to those situations and those places as well.
One thing I love about specialized spiritual care ministry is a tagline that someone along the way came up with, and it's bringing the gospel, or bringing the love of Christ, I think is actually what it says on some of the information. And that's exactly what you're describing. Like, these are people who aren't coming into the churches, so we take the gospel to them. We bring the love of God to them. And in all these different contexts and settings, sometimes, you know, they're not able to get to church. They're just physically not able to go. So we can talk more about that in this episode, but in episodes to come, because this is the first of a series where we're going to be talking with people who serve in specialized spiritual care ministry. Now, you described how you started serving when early on in your ministry, and then, you know, your time at the seminary, and then even continuing after seminary. So tell us more about what specialized spiritual care ministry is and how it's a mission of Christ Church.
Sure. Yeah. So I think a really helpful way to look at this is a pastor, Dr. Hal Sinkbile, describes the work that specialized care workers do really well. He uses the illustration of specialized care workers being spiritual paramedics, right? So that they meet people where they're at in a whole variety of situations, because we've got folks serving, as I've described, you know, in trauma hospitals. We've got folks serving in prisons, senior living communities, all these different areas. And so Dr. Sinkbaugh would compare this to, we have these folks that go out, meet these people, share the love of Christ with them, as we've been talking about. And then also the goal being is to get these people to the hospital, that is the church, to the physician of souls, that is the pastor, to administer the medicine, that is the word and sacraments. So that illustration, I think, really captures this work really well. I can give you a personal example of just how, important this work is. Serving as a trauma hospital chaplain back in my early days of ministry, I had the opportunity. There was a really tragic shooting. It was in Fort Wayne. There was a gang war going on. So a very, very tragic situation. And so one of the roles of the chaplain in that context of the hospital was to be kind of a liaison between the medical staff and the family or friends of the person that they were treating and caring for. And so so there was, again, with the situation, there was the medical staff, the doctors and nurses. It was kind of my role at that point to keep the friends who were these fellow gang members, so this gang member that got shot, informed of the medical care that was going on and his status and things like that. Really interesting situation. Every time I interacted with them, a Fort Wayne police officer would come with me, and just because of the nature of the situation. And at the end, you know, when things were, the person was being stabilized and things like that, I offered to say a prayer with these folks. And there we were, about probably, I'm not even kidding, about 30 to 40 gang members, you know, all tatted up, you know, heavy, you know, just rough looking crowd. And there we were, everyone head bowed. And I said a prayer with them. You know, we talked about, I like include a little bit of, repentant lives too with that, you know, to help out with that. But we prayed in Jesus' name and pointed and used that prayer to point them to Christ and Him crucified. And, you know, with the intent that planting that seed, that the Lord, and the Holy Spirit can work in those lives. So that's kind of a cool example that I always like to share, and one that stands out for me.
Wow. That's pretty important that you were there, that you were able to share the gospel with those people and to pray with them. And I'm sure you've got a lot more stories. So thanks for sharing that one. And we'll look forward to hearing some more. I think that it's important also to consider, you know, in specialized spiritual care ministry, it's not just, individuals out there on their own serving in hospitals and say, other living communities or other contexts, but there's a lot of partnership. We talked about that in the Office of National Mission, where you and I both serve, as something that's a priority for us, to partner mm-hmm. with entities and organizations throughout the Synod for mission effectiveness. What does that look like in specialized spiritual care ministry? How is it that there's partnerships within the Synod to advance the gospel through this important type of care?
Yeah, so there's three main groups that we partner with, interact with a lot to further God's mission in this field. The first category would be districts. We love working with districts. Districts keep us informed about church workers who may be looking for something else, or if they've got questions about, hey, we've got this situation going on, as a church worker, would really love to serve in a chaplaincy type role or what's out there. They'll contact me, and we can work together, myself in the district and the church worker, to find a really good fit for that individual. And everyone wins in that situation. The folks that person's going to serve, the church worker, and all of us who just, want that love of Christ to go out. We also partner with our recognized service organizations. We have really strong relationships with those, especially those that that do call church workers as chaplains in those fields. So it's always a blessing to go out and visit those folks, you know, just check in and say, hey, how are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? And really, there's so many innovative things that that folks are doing, folks have developed, some best practices that we're able to take back and share with others. And so that partnership is really, really strong and really a blessing to have as we keep in touch with our recognized service organizations and the folks serving there. And then the third entity I just want to talk about too is our seminaries especially. So they've been great about letting me know about students that have interest in chaplaincy work. And what we can do is we can help connect them with folks doing chaplaincy work in different areas so they can see firsthand, they can shadow these church workers and see, hey, is this something that I want to do after seminary? Is this a career I want to pursue in church work? Is this a ministry that I want to be a part of? And, you know, we would start forming that interest and that discernment at the seminary level too. And it's really cool to see and the relationships that form and are fostered there as we partner together for spreading that love of Christ.
Yeah, that's so important that we're working together, you know, and there's other organizations we partner with as well. We've got other entities in the Synod. Concordia Publishing House, that's one big one, pretty recognizable to most people in the church as far as being the publisher for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and producing a lot of curriculum. But CPH also certainly partners quite closely with Specialized Spiritual Care Ministry. And then our auxiliaries, you know, there's two auxiliaries in the church, the Lutheran Layman's League, which is oftentimes known by Lutheran Hour Ministries, and the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, or LWML. Oftentimes they refer to themselves as Lutheran Women in Mission. And so LWML has really been generous as far as the mission support of Specialized Spiritual
Absolutely.
Care Ministry.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the societies and congregations, the zones, the districts, and of course nationally too with Mission Mike grants to support the work, and we're so thankful for that partnership. So there's so many other partners we could specifically list off, and we'll get to some of those throughout the episodes, I'm sure, and you know, potentially down the road as we release more seasons as well. But give thanks to God for that work we do together to share the gospel. You know, other things that the National Mission does is to support and equip. You know, you brought up the districts. Mm-hmm. We work with congregations through districts, and certainly school ministries as well. So, Brian, could you describe how National Mission supports and equips listeners to this podcast? You know, as individuals, also their congregations, their schools, church workers, and others through Specialized Spiritual Care Ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the partnerships that you highlighted, Deaconess Manor, was our relationship that we have, our partnership that we have with Concordia Publishing House. And that's been a tremendous blessing, especially as we look at prison ministry. And so for folks that want to be involved with prison ministry, Specialized Care is really excited to announce, in partnership with Concordia Publishing House, a prison ministry kit that just came to fruition this past year. And what this is this kit involves an ESV Bible, a Luther Small Catechism, an abridged version of a Lutheran service book, and devotions to accompany that hymnal. Now, maybe our folks don't know, for folks that have been involved in prison ministry, this is probably a little bit redundant, but the certain books that can go into prisons, it's really restrictive. There's certain bindings that are only allowed in prisons. A lot of bindings are restrictive. So Concordia Publishing House did a great job that all these resources that were developed can go into any prison in the United States, which is really, really cool. So for congregations, for folks that want to get involved with prison ministry, maybe you even have relatives or friends that have been imprisoned, or you're a lay person that has a passion for serving in this context or reaching out to work with this. This prison ministry kit is an excellent resource to get involved. That way, these inmates, these prisoners, can receive these resources And of course, you know, we know that they're going to have a lot of time on their hands, a lot of time for reflection. And we want their thoughts to be, of course, geared towards the higher things that St. Paul describes. So the things from above. And this helps with that. Of course, giving them the Word of God, hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, so they know what, you know, they know what's, you know, what baptism means when it comes up in the Bible, this devotional, which helps explain some of these hymns. So what in the world is this hymn talking about? Our devotion helps with that. And it's a really great resource for folks, of just across our pastors, those serving as prison ministry chaplains and even laity to get involved with this important ministry. Something else that Specialized Spiritual Care Ministry also is doing is we created what's called Lutheran Visitation Education. Now, for church workers that are serving in chaplaincy roles, normally hospitals and other organizations require what's called clinical pastoral education. And really what that is, it's a clinical education that goes beyond your seminary or educational training, that gives you some credentials, some certification to go out into these, into a hospital or nursing home or prison to conduct that ministry. And usually this clinical education is required for those positions for church workers wanting to serve in that. We've been really blessed that we've been able to develop our own LCMS clinical education opportunity. So again, this is called Lutheran Visitation Education. We're even, you know, more incredibly blessed that this program is recognized by the Association of Professional Chaplains as a CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education Equivalent Program. So meaning that the program we developed is on par with the main programs out there and will be recognized by certain organizations as such. So we can train our own church workers, our own that are interested in doing this here in-house, which is really, really cool with this opportunity. There's so many things that we do, and so I don't want to take up too much time. But the last thing I want to highlight is our ecclesiastical endorsement. We recently revised that, and what ecclesiastical endorsement is a way that we connect with our church workers serving these specialist contexts, and it's our way of connecting with them and equipping them and making sure that that we're just staying in touch, and it's a way that other organizations, sometimes hospitals, prisons, require that someone serving their context be ecclesiastically endorsed by their church body. And so that's what we do. And we've developed a new system that will fit the needs of our church workers, from church workers serving part-time in chaplaincy roles. You know, maybe they're serving as part-time police chaplain or fire chaplain. And then there's also, we've got an endorsement tier, if you will, for folks serving full-time in chaplaincy as well. And so we've got a whole kind of breadth of areas just to be able to support our church workers and the ministries that they're doing through that process as well.
Well, thanks for walking us through all of those things that Specialized Spiritual Care Ministry engages in. I'm glad that you explained that ecclesiastical endorsement. That's a question that comes up a lot. You know, all of these agencies and places, like you mentioned, hospitals and prisons, and you know, they want to make sure that when they're bringing someone in a chaplaincy role, that it's not just someone off the street, you know, a random person who professes to know what they're doing, but they really don't. And so that endorsement is so important for our church body to be able to say, you know what, we know this person, we know their training, we know their skills, their gifts, and we can assure you that they are not going to bring harm to any of the people that they care for. You know, you're giving that analogy of you know, paramedic, right? So spiritual care is just as important as medical care, and we need to make sure we've got trained people who really know what they're doing. And that's what is various agencies and employers like to know is from a national church body. Are they, you know, really going to be able to serve well? And of course, you know, as you described the clinical pastoral education and Lutheran visitation education, that's how these workers get trained and formed, because it is a different set of skills than what they would learn in their initial training at seminary or, you know, for commissioned church workers at the university level. So it's good to have that really formative, intense period of time to focus on how is it we care for people who may not be Lutheran? How do we care in these special contexts where the needs are different than in a congregation? So it's, you know, a more advanced education for our church workers, and it was a tremendous blessing for me, frankly, to have that. It helped. Even though I was a few years out of seminary when I was in clinical pastoral education, it really helped me refine all of my skills, listening to people, understanding exactly how to pray with them, what their spiritual needs were, what I could share with them from God's word, and how to bring the gospel to bear on their lives, how to connect them to the congregation, to the church. So I think it's really a blessing to any church worker that could either engage in clinical pastoral education or Lutheran visitation education. So it's great that we have that new opportunity to, with a distinctly Lutheran identity and approach to visitation and care. So thank you so much, Pastor, for joining the podcast today. The listeners are going to hear more from you throughout this season, and from some others that you're going to bring on as guests, and that'll be pretty exciting to hear about more of these specialized contexts. And listeners, thanks for joining us as well here on God's Mission Here. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review, and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.